Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Thursday, July 2nd. So there's a headline in the news right now that caught my attention. And it says, the Anthropic Fable ban is over. The battle over how to tame AI has just begun. And I want to talk about it because it connects to something much bigger than one company or one AI model. So quick context in case you missed it. Anthropic, the company that makes Claude, released its most powerful AI model, both Fable 5 and Mythos 5, on June 9th. But just 3 days later, the Commerce Department ordered them taken offline, citing national security concerns over a potential jailbreak vulnerability. It was the first time the U.S. government had used export controls to pull a commercial AI product off the market. The ban was lifted this week after 2 weeks of negotiations. And I should be transparent here, Claude, the AI made by Anthropic, is one of the tools that I use to research this show. So the technology behind Higher IQ was briefly banned by the U.S. government. But the reason I want to cover this isn't the ban itself. It's what the ban reveals about a pattern that shows up every time a new technology gets powerful enough to matter. On June 9th, Anthropic launched Fable 5, which it described as its most powerful and capable model ever, along with an even more powerful research model called Mythos 5. Anthropic had spent thousands of hours red-teaming the models with the US and UK governments, private third-party organizations, and internal teams before release. They built guardrails to prevent the models from assisting with cybersecurity attacks and biological threats. They even implemented a 30-day data retention policy so that they could monitor for misuse. By their account, no testers had found a universal jailbreak, meaning a method that could be broadly used to bypass the model's safety systems. But just 3 days after launch, on June 12th, the Commerce Department sent Anthropic a letter at 5:21 p.m. Eastern Time, directing the company to suspend all access to Fable 5 and Mythos 5 by any foreign national, whether inside or outside the United States. The letter cited that national security authorities had issues, but didn't provide specific details about the concern. Anthropic's understanding was that government officials believed they had found a jailbreak, which is a way to bypass the model's safety guardrails. Anthropic reviewed the technique and concluded it was a narrow vulnerability that other publicly available AI models could also exploit, not something unique to Fable 5. Anthropic complied with the order, but publicly disagreed with it, writing, "If this standard was applied across the industry, we believe it would essentially halt all new model deployments for all other frontier model providers." They sent a team of their top scientists to Washington to work with government officials on a resolution. 2 weeks later, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick sent a letter lifting the export controls, citing Anthropic's cooperation. Fable 5 came back online yesterday. I actually was about to start using it to do some research this morning. The immediate story here is straightforward. Government saw risk, pulled a product, the company negotiated, and then the product came back. But there's a deeper pattern at work here, and a venture capitalist named Bill Gurley explained it so perfectly last September. So in September of 2023, Bill Gurley, a general partner at Benchmark, which is a VC fund that had invested in Uber, Grubhub, and Zillow, gave a presentation at the All In Summit titled 2,851 Miles, which is the distance between Silicon Valley and Washington, D.C. He had the audience chant a sentence that normally doesn't generate excitement, and it was, "Regulation is the friend of the incumbent." And just for everyone who knows, incumbent means the existing players. So he's saying that regulation favors the companies that already exist in a particular industry before regulation comes into governing. Gurley's argument, which builds on the work of George Stigler, who won the Nobel Prize in Economics in 1982, is that regulation almost always ends up benefiting the largest companies in any industry, regardless of what the regulation was designed to do. Stigler's original insight was that, as a rule, regulation is acquired by the industry and is designed and operated primarily for the benefit of the industry, not the public, the industry. The companies being regulated are the ones who shape the rules, because they have the lobbyists, the relationships, and the resources to influence the process. Startups don't have the lobbyists. I mean, they barely have lawyers. So Gurley walked through an example after example. When the federal government pushed hospitals to adopt electronic health records under Obama, it effectively mandated the feature set of Epic Systems, which is the dominant player in the industry. Epic's software became the compliance standard. Three of Epic's smaller competitors were hit with fines between $57 million and $155 million. The regulation that was supposed to modernize healthcare locked in the incumbent and crushed the upstarts. When Verizon and Comcast saw municipal Wi-Fi projects threatening their business, they lobbied state legislators to outlaw them within 2 years. When COVID rapid antigen tests came to the market, which is a very simple technology that costs less than a dollar in Europe, the regulatory barriers kept the price at $10 or more and limited competition to a handful of approved manufacturers. Then Gurley turned to AI. He showed a New York Times headline saying that OpenAI's Sam Altman urges AI regulation in Senate hearing. Gurley's point was that the CEO of the biggest AI company in the world going to Congress and then asking for regulation should alarm everyone, because the company most likely to benefit from compliance requirements, licensing standards, and government review processes is the company that already has the scale, the lawyers, and the government relationships to navigate them. A startup building an AI model in a garage just can't afford a team of scientists to fly to Washington for 2 weeks of negotiations. But guess who can? OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, all these well-funded companies. If the regulatory bar gets high enough, the only companies that can clear it are the ones that are already on top. The intellectual honest version of this story requires holding two things in your head at the same time, and I think most coverage picks one and ignores the other. So the first thing is that the safety concerns are real. AI models are getting more capable every few months, and the gap between what they can do and what the guardrails prevent is a legitimate area of concern. Anthropic itself has been one of the most vocal companies about AI safety risks. They built an entire research program around it. The government having some mechanism to intervene when a technology poses real national security risks isn't inherently unreasonable. Nobody argues that the FDA shouldn't exist or that nuclear materials shouldn't be regulated. The second thing is that mechanism matters enormously, and the mechanism used here was export controls, the same legal tool the government uses for weapons, military technology, and nuclear equipment. But in this case, it was applied to a chatbot with just 3 days' notice and no specific technical details provided in the initial letter, and with the standard that, as Anthropic pointed out, would shut down every frontier AI model if applied consistently. That's not a transparent regulatory process. That's just a phone call that can kill a product overnight, and the companies best positioned to survive that phone call are the ones with the deepest government relationships and the biggest compliance budgets. So the Anthropic situation is interesting precisely because Anthropic isn't a scrappy startup. They're well-funded, well-connected, and they were able to send scientists to DC and negotiate a resolution in just 2 weeks. The question Gurley would ask is, what happens when this tool gets used against a company that can't do that? What happens when a smaller AI lab releases a model that competes with the incumbents and a jailbreak vulnerability does get flagged, and then the Commerce Department sends a letter at 5:21 p.m. on a Thursday? Does that company have the resources to fly a team to Washington and negotiate for 2 weeks while their product is offline and their customers are probably leaving? Or does the product just stay dead? That's the pattern that Gurley described. He was basically saying that the regulation probably wasn't intended or designed to help the incumbent, but when they make it cost enough to comply so that only the well-funded startups and companies can actually comply with it is when the incumbent can afford it and all the other startups die. The safety concern can be completely valid, and the competitive effect can still favor the big players. Both things are true at the same time, and the fact that they're hard to separate is exactly what makes regulatory capture so effective and so difficult to fix. So as you're using Gemini, Claude, or ChatGPT this week to do whatever work you're doing, here's what you should think about. The U.S. government used export controls to pull Anthropic's most powerful AI model offline for 2 weeks, and it was the first time that the tool has been used against a commercial AI product, and the ban was lifted after negotiations. Bill Gurley, a venture capitalist, warned about this dynamic years ago at the All In Summit. Regulation almost always benefits the largest players in an industry, because they're the ones who can afford to comply. The safety concerns with AI are real. The mechanism used to address them, export controls with no transparency, 3 days' notice, and a standard that would shut down every frontier model if applied consistently, raises questions about who that mechanism actually protects. The hardest part is that both things can be true simultaneously. The technology can be a real risk, and the regulatory response can favor the incumbents. Telling the difference between safety and competitive advantage is the challenge that every new technology eventually faces. AI just got there faster than most. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.